The time the followers came to Jesus and asked,
"Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?"
Jesus called to a little child to him and stood the child before his followers. Then he said,
"I tell you the truth, you must change and become like little children. Otherwise, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is the one who makes himself humble like this child. And whoever accepts a child in my name accepts me." This is God's word.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, thank you very much to the team who were at the front there. I wasn't quite sure who was all going to join us, but I think it all really helped us to visualize this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. And a special thanks, of course, to James as well for reading so well. Well, just this weekend, I think I was watching on BBC Breakfast News that this is the 50th anniversary of colour TV. So, there's a very short video coming up, which was obviously just before 50 years ago. So some of you of a certain vintage might even remember this when it was first broadcast. The sound level was a little bit tricky, but hopefully we can all hear it if we can be nice and quiet. Thanks very much, Daniel. Let's listen and watch.
I look down on him because I am upper class. I look up to him because he is upper class. But I look down on him because he is lower class. I am middle class. I know my place. I look up to them both. But I don't look up to him as much as I look up to him. Because he has got innate breeding.
I have got innate breeding, but I have not got any money. So sometimes I look up to him.
I still look up to him, because although I have money, I am vulgar. But I'm not as vulgar as him, so I still look down on him. I know my place.
If you remember that. Yeah, quite a few of us would remember it. The inimitable John Cleese and the two Ronnies, of course. So thought you would quite enjoy that. Just in case you're not aware as well, the reading today is from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 18. So that was what we were listening to earlier, the first five verses. So it would be good if you could have those words available to you. I found it striking and in fact shocking that the disciples were keen to ask that question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? For the disciples, it wasn't just an idle question that they had asked when there was nothing better to do. It had become a major preoccupation of theirs. Because on another occasion, we can read that as they were walking along the road, Jesus knew that they were arguing about this. And so Jesus takes the initiative and asks them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" So for Jesus, it was also a major preoccupation of his, but for a very different reason. For what Jesus wanted to do was to help the disciples understand that they were behaving in completely the wrong way if they were to be truly his disciples. And the disciples, as we've come to know, as we read the Gospels, were very slow to learn because even again, it happened yet again. and also at a time when Jesus needed them most. When Jesus told them, not for the first time, that he would be sent away to die. And almost immediately, Luke records that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying, and at that time, they began arguing again about who was the greatest. And if that wasn't enough, yes, it happened yet again at another sad time, as we've just been celebrating communion, remembering the Last Supper, and more especially the following day when Jesus gave up his life for us. For when Jesus shared his last special meal with his disciples before that, once again, they argued about who would be the greatest. It was a major preoccupation of the disciples. And to be clear about this, we can be as sure as we possibly can be that the disciples weren't thinking that it was someone else in their group who was the greatest. So it wasn't that Peter was nominating John as the greatest, or John was saying, oh no, definitely not, and then nominating Andrew. Andrew saying, no, it's Philip, and so the list could go on. That's not what they were saying. So why was the question so striking and shocking? Even though they had been with Jesus and known him for a long time, they were so concerned with self that they couldn't see the answer staring them in the face that whole time. The answer is Jesus. He is the greatest. And Jesus' response to the disciples was just as shocking, as it was completely the opposite to what the disciples were thinking, because they thought that they themselves were the greatest. And so Jesus says to them that they need to change. Even although they'd been with him for some time, they had to change. They hadn't understood what following him was all about. Their lives were actually heading in the wrong direction, and Jesus had to pull them up. Jesus wanted them to understand. And even though many of us here today have been following Jesus for some time, this is a reminder to us that we always, if we want to follow Jesus, we always need to change and be transformed by him. And so Jesus did something like this, and Scott, remember we had a wee conversation earlier on. Do you want to come out to the front? Oh, that would be great. Oh, it's nice to see you. That's great. Do you want to come up? Do you want to come up? Do you want to sit on my knee? Shall I lift you up? There we go. That's great. There we go. You can see everyone now. And that's what Jesus did. He brought out a little child, probably about the same age as Scott. Scott, are you 3 yet?
Yeah.
You are 3. Oh, well, you're getting big, aren't you? But most of the people out there are bigger than you, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, Jesus, he actually loves people like you who are very, very small. And that's what he did, to try to explain to the disciples that Jesus was the greatest. Jesus said that unless you become like little children, just like Scott here, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a shocking statement, isn't it? But Jesus said it. We need to become like little children. Yesterday at tea time together, you were at tea time together last night too, weren't you, Scott?
Yeah.
You enjoyed it? You had fun?
Yeah.
That's really good. There were about 35 of us here last night, and our theme, as Ros has said, was about loving our world. But as part of that, we thought about how small all of us are compared to everything that God has created. So really, it's not only Scott who appears small in the whole world, but also each of us are very, very small compared to everything that God has created. And yet, we shared the great news, the amazing news, the striking news that Jesus loves us more than everything else he has created. And just before you go, Scott, I just wanted to say that a child is humble and dependent. A child is completely content to be dependent on those who love and care for him. Your mum and dad love you, don't they, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And they take care of you and give you food and maybe toys sometimes too. Yeah. So lots and lots of good things. And you get clothes and lots of different things. Scott never doubts that he will have enough to eat and enough to wear. And Jesus really is saying here that in our attitude to God, we need to become more and more like little children, just like Scott here. Well, Scott, thank you so much. You have been brilliant. Do we want to give Scott a round of applause? And you can go back and see Mummy. Well done. There you go. I knew I could rely on Scott there. That was great. Well done. So there's quite a striking challenge for all of us. We need to become more and more like little children as we relate to God. If a person's aim is to fulfill a personal dream of theirs, or to have power or position, or to be exalted above others, then that person is aiming, Jesus said, at the exact opposite of the kingdom of heaven. You and I may be tempted to look back on our lives so far and think that it was our talent that helped us achieve what we think we have with our lives. Thinking of the video earlier on, the I Look Down on Him sketch, we will often be tempted to compare ourselves with others in different ways and not just to do with class. But in reality, as we look back in our lives, much of what we have actually achieved when we think about it will be the result of the help and support of others. And all of it is to do with God. Actually, by knowing our place, as Ronnie Corbett said in the video, and by accepting more deeply our own complete dependence upon God, we ourselves, I believe, could know greater strength and peace in our lives, and at the same time help build the kingdom of God rather than of self. Do we want to build the kingdom of God? A few of us do. That's great. I'll ask it again. I know sometimes it's not always easy to feedback, but do we want to build the kingdom of God?
Yes.
That's good. I think I do as well. Then let's follow the counterintuitive example of Jesus. It's good to remind one another that if we want to follow Jesus, the way up is down, and the way down is up. The way up is down, and the way down is up. And so it should be for all of us, no matter our age. This is how we are called to live our lives before others and before God. And remember, and this is the great encouragement, that God promises honor to those who humble themselves before him. In Matthew's gospel, it says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The first ingredient in true greatness is, ironically, to be completely disinterested in greatness and to humbly live in dependency on God and the service of others. Let's encourage one another in that attitude. And finally, a verse that Peter himself, the one who most likely was the most vocal in saying that he was the greatest, let's listen to what he says after many years of serving Jesus. He writes in his first letter, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." May God continue to speak into our lives, even this week, as we reflect on Jesus' teaching to us. Thanks, Ross.